And this is baffling to me, particularly when 231, Betty said, well, last week, she realized that she was not talking to them. There is something else I want to say before I forget to mention it. Betty mentioned to me that at the time that this sighting had taken place, I was working nights. And we did not sleep together, only on weekends, because it was the type of situation that I would sleep in the day and she at night. And when she had told me these dreams of hers, to be polite, I listened. Well, she was not really telling them to me, but telling them to others. And I would never offer any opinion, because I had my own private opinion about dreams, that they were dreams. Because I dream, and dreams don't have any particular significance other than that you dream of something that you have associated somewhere in your past or in your life or in your present, and this stimulates your mind to dream when you are asleep. And this is the way I put Betty's dreams. Not that I was a physical part of her dreams, but only a part of her dreams in her mental capacity to dream. And so I never put any great emphasis on her dreams. I had never dreamed consciously of a UFO in my life until here recently. And I wanted to ask, is it possible I could have dreamed of a UFO unconsciously and not have had? To clarify what I am saying, I have had many dreams over many periods of times of my life, and in many instances I can't recall what I dreamed about. But I do know that it was along a certain particular line. If I had dreamed of being in Philadelphia, I would waken and forget the dream. But I could know that somehow the dream content was somewhere in Philadelphia, and I would not be totally unaware. But I had never, to my knowledge, dreamed of a UFO until recently. Doctor, by recently, you mean last week? Barney, Sunday before last, which would have been a week ago last week. Doctor, you dreamed that before you saw me last time? Barney, yes. Doctor, why oh you didn't tell me about that? 2J2, Barney, I did mention that to you, that I had dreamed of a UFO. Doctor, yes, oh, yes. You said you dreamed of a UFO, but you didn't have any details. Barney, no details were associated with it. Doctor, in other words, you feel that you dreamed of a UFO, but you couldn't remember the dream, is that it? Barney, you mean in the past? Doctor, no, at that time, in the way we were talking about. You asked me if one could dream, say, unconsciously. Barney, well, what I meant is, could I after 1961 have dreamed of a UFO, and then under hypnosis my dream is coming out? Doctor, now, what you're talking of, what do you think it might have been? Barney, repeat that question. Doctor, you say, now your dream is coming out. To what part of the things that you recall are you referring? Barney, well, the only part of my dream that I had recently that made any sense was the structure and walking up to the object. It was just a distorted dream, but the physical structure of the craft itself fitted in with my conscious attitude of what a craft like this would look like. And, last night, I dreamed again of being on a UFO. And this could have been a result of Betty having drawn a picture. What she was attempting, 233, to do was to draw a picture of a map with, she calls it perspective, and I call it a map in dimension. But this is what she was attempting to do. And this is what could have stimulated me to a dream of this type. But, I dreamed that I was on aboard this UFO, and I was questioning the people there, where did you come from? And they were telling me that they had come from a planet. Barney continues to describe his dream, in which he reflects his growing preoccupation with the possibility that something strange and weird happened in the interval, talking with intelligent humanoid beings, etc. As he concludes, the doctor speaks. Doctor, now, you and Betty have been talking to each other about what's been going on, you've been remembering things? Barney, yes. Doctor, so, she's now told you about her experience on the object? Barney, yes. Doctor, and you've told her? Barney, yes. Doctor, about being on board, being examined, and all those things? Barney, yesterday, at the breakfast table, we were talking about it. And, gee, I get chills. I get chills even now. Ugh. Doctor, so, it's so me thing you don't want to remember 2STRONGLY now? Barney, Willel, I, D.O. remember what we were talking about. I was telling her I see and seconds it so clearly. This MUKH I had always realized, that somewhere, this 2.H, is prior to coming here for hypnosis, that I had always realized that somehow there was someone stopping us. But I never could put any sense to it. So I dismissed it completely from my mind. Doctor, could someone have flagged you down? Just someone, anyone who might flag you down? Barney, I would have, I'm quite sure I would have remembered. Doctor, well, you were pretty frightened at the time. Barney, I would have remembered someone flagging me down. Particularly a group of men. Doctor, well, now, about this experience. How do you feel about it? You have a lot of doubts about it. You're asking me, could it have been a dream? Barney, yes, I'm asking these kinds of questions. Doctor, what do you think, could it have been? Barney, well, now, in the truthful answer, trying now not to conceal my feelings of being ridiculed, I would say it was something that happened. But I put a protective coating on myself, because I don't want to be ridiculed. Doctor, you and Betty appear to have had somewhat similar experiences, but also different. It seems to me that Betty knew about everything that happened to you, but you know nothing about what happened to her. Barney, well, Betty didn't know. All she knew about me is that I had gone into a room and then had come from this room. And that they had come running out of it. 235, Doctor, that you heard from Betty telling her dreams? Barney, yes, I have heard of these dreams. Doctor, and all these things were found in her dreams, weren't they? These things that happened to her? Barney, the things that happened to her? Doctor, yes, that she said happened in the object. Barney, I would say there is a similarity. Doctor, you heard all this? Barney, I had heard all that. Yes. The difference is that though I had heard her dreams, and Betty would talk about them, I never would talk about the idea of having or believing I had been stopped on the highway. I knew I saw a large object. I knew this, but I didn't think much of it. Doctor, well, you were pretty well convinced of having sighted something. But you have some doubts in mind about the rest. Of whether it was reality, or dream, or what it was. Barney, well, it is because of my unfamiliarity with hypnosis, what it can do. Doctor, never mind about hypnosis. How do you feel? You were expressing some doubts about it. You asked me, could this have been hallucination and a dream? Barney, yes, talking to you as a professional man. 236, Doctor, then, why would you and Betty have the same experience? If you could give me some possible explanation though? Barney, these are the questions I'm asking. Could she have influenced me? Doctor, well, you were always afraid she would influence you, weren't you? Barney, that's interesting, because I knew she wasn't. Doctor, you accused her of trying to hypnotize you to make you believe something you didn't want to believe. I'd rather reserve diagnosis of that for a while. I want to go through more material yet. Barney, yes. Well, at the time I would like to say this, that when I was standing out there, I knew she wasn't influencing me. Is that I would rather not talk about it. What I was thinking, okay, we see something, now and even as, let's get in our car and drive about our business. And this irritated me when she kept saying, but look, it's right over there. And this greatly irritated me. Do you? I would slow down to take a peek, I would see this object out there. And so I said, what are you trying to knowing that it was make me see something that isn't there? There and not wanting it to be there. And I think this is a part of why I'm confused. Doctor, now, Betty had a nightmare or two before she saw me last time. She tells me she woke you up and told you about it. Do you remember that? Barney, yes, she did wake me up. Doctor, she thought she had possibly screamed. But if she had, you would have heard. But she said then she woke you up and told you about it. Barney, I didn't hear her. And then she said she had this dream. 237, Doctor, did she tell you what it was? Barney, that I'm trying to remember. whether she told me what the dream was or not. Ah, it had something to do with being on the craft and that. She had discovered that she wasn't talking to these people. Doctor, this she told you was a dream? Barney, this is what she told me was her dream. Doctor, it's not what she told me was a dream. She told me that there were two dreams, really. One of them was sort of like a moonbeam down on a lake, something like that, or over a body of water. Barney, yes, she told me about that. Doctor, and then of a yellow object, this great lighted object taking off, which both of you have experienced. Barney, well, that, yes. If this was a dream that she had, it is only an extension of something I do know and did see. But eliminating the water from what I'm saying, is this large object sitting there, and then it started moving off and going very rapidly away. This, too, I always knew about before hypnosis. But much of this I wanted to forget very badly. Doctor, why were you so anxious to forget it? You've been worried this week, haven't you? Barney, well, I don't know whether I can say this is the typical, or rather THs is more of the typical manifestations of the male who likes things solid and explainable. I don't know for this would be my answer as to why one wanted to forget. 238, Doctor, are you afraid of something? Barney, am I afraid of something? Doctor, yes. Barney, yes, this is something else I'm grateful you brought out. Because somehow I always had a fear, after this sighting, that a great disaster now how I could explain this disaster? There was harm that could come to Betty and me by pursuing this. Doctor, I see. Barney, by even trying to investigate. See, I've always been the reluctant person. Doctor, what sort of harm, from where would it come? Barney, from a position that I best can describe it that a person would know if ever, I, had gone too far by revealing something. Doctor, you mean then that you had a secret of somebody's that you were afraid of revealing? Or do you feel you had been told that Barney, to forget? Doctor, you had been told to forget these men? Barney, yes. Doctor, at least, this is the way you feel about it, whether it was a dream or reality. 239, bar. E, yes. Doctor, and this is part of a dream. Barney, I know it wasn't a dream. Doctor, that you were told to forget by the men? Barney, yes. That this is something that can really serve no purpose, and you have to forget it, you will forget it, and it can only cause great harm that can be meted out to you if you do not forget. Doctor, you say you were told this? Barney, yes. As if this is a conclusion to an event. That now it is over, you, forget. Oicta, in other words, it is a feeling about the event. Barney, yes. Doctor, that you mustn't speak of it. Barney, yes. Doctor, there is a danger in speaking of it. Barney, yes. Oicta, and the danger is going to be, what? Any notion about that? 240, Barney, well, there is a reluctance on my part to be abroad with Betty up in the mountains at night. Not during the day, or not necessarily in the mountains, but in any isolated area. It was as if, when I was walking out to this craft, and now I'm going back prior to hypnosis, the same type of effect that was drawing me to it. Before I broke and ran back to the car. It was the same type of power as I tried to describe, a force that was causing me to continue to come closer to it, even when I wanted to run away. Doctor, a fascination in spite of your fear? Barney, well, fascination was there. I was amazed. Doctor, all of this was a feeling in yourself. Wasn't it? Barney, being out there on the highway. Doctor, no, the feeling of power, and so on. Barney, yes, yes, this was very, very doctor, this was a feeling in yourself, wasn't it? As from something stronger than yourself. Barney, if it were being produced, it was being produced by something stronger than me, outside of me, that I wasn't creating this. Doctor, I see. This power. As the discussion continued, Barney brought up the fact that the small circle of warts that had developed in an almost geometric leaper, 241, feet circle around his groin some 4 months after the incident at Indian Head had become inflamed after his therapy with Dr. Simon had begun. As the conscious memory of what B had revealed under hypnosis came back to him, he became aware of the recollection that in the examination on the craft, a circular instrument had been placed at exactly the same point where the warts have now appeared. He wondered, had these been caused by the examination and the instrument used? Bani was also intelligent enough to realize that the reverse could be true. The warts might be a psychosomatic symptom connected with the feelings experienced under hypnosis. Aboard the craft, inflamed, neither Dr. Simon nor the skin specialist Bani visited appeared to be concerned about the warts, which were easily removed by and yet, Bani reasoned, they had initially appeared back in 1962, when he had no conscious memory of the events now. In 1964, during the sessions, they became electrolyte, sis. But to Bani, the gnawing thought remained that this could be evidence if indeed there was anything to this totally incredible story. Doctor, well, do you have any other thoughts? Bani, well, I haven't been answered one way. Doctor, how's that? Bani, the dream this. I know this for a certainty. I think all I am trying to do is be reassured. Possibility of dreams. Yet I know I did not. Doctor, well, I was thinking, when I speak of hypnosis and its effect and, to be reassured of what? Bani, I know it happened. I talked to P.E. Opal, not that many people, but I'm thinking G of those I have talked to about it. And I only feel that I have to face the possibility of this happening and G. I know, you unfortunately, the person who is listening to me cannot know what I do know. That these things did happen to me, particularly when I was out there on there, 212, highway and walking toward the hovering craft there. I also knew that something very strange had happened immediately afterwards. Yet, when I talk to a person, it is almost as if I had been given an A on a report card, and I keep asking others to look at it and tell me is it really there? Doctor, when did you first have that feeling that something else had happened besides sighting the object and everything connected with that? Bani, surprisingly, when I first arrived home in Portsmouth the same day. I had this feeling of foreboding, something would happen. I'd say, Betty, let us forget this thing. Let us forget even the portion of having seen the sighting from Lancaster all the way down to Indian Head. Because no good can come of it. Doctor, yes, but when did you get the feeling that something else had happened? Aside from the feeling of foreboding. Bani, I had that. I can only think that that was a private part of what I knew. Doctor, wasn't this after Mr. Owen brought up the question of what happened? Bani, that might have been when Betty believed that, when she became interested after her dream and talked with Mr. Owen. But I felt there was more to this. And what caused me to do that, is that I was talking to Walter Webb. And I had gotten as far as being out on the highway. And I had gone right up to the point of looking at the object with my binoculars, and it's looking back at me. Then suddenly it was almost and now I can't, as if a fleeting revelation that something happened. Any further? Doctor, even remember, and was brought up to a standstill, and I couldn't go, that's when you were talking with Mr. Webb. 243, Bani, this is when I was talking with Walter Webb, yes. I found that there was something very strange about this whole thing. Now, I can go right up to this point. I can remember walking back, running back to the car, but just what I had done, but I didn't pursue this any further with Walter Webb, because I felt a tremendous pressure to say, let's drop this thing, Betty. Now you have your report, Mr. Webb, let us forget it. This was the extent of that. I used to privately think about this. That, Betty, was when after she asked me, what did you see? What did said, it's going to capture us. Doctor, in the car with me, we were together, why you see? I only, you were afraid it was going to capture you. Bani, yes, I knew that. Doctor, you knew that, what do you mean? To you? You knew it was going to cap, Bani, Yes, if this can be an explanation of something you know is about to happen. I knew if I had stayed out there on that highway, Doc Tracy, if you had stayed there, you would have been Sir Peter Reedy. Barney, and I, so I could only go up to that part and never go any further. Betty didn't talk about it, it seemed so fantastic, so me thing happening at that point, and D we not talking about it. Doctor, yes. A lot, Betty talked a lot about it to everybody else. She see all ED her sister, he see all at Barney, we all I was thing of that night from the time I returned D to the car, we didn't talk about it. She just said, well, what did you seconds? And I didn't answer her. Other than else ID, IT's going to capture us. And, 2F.L, then I didn't answer her, or I didn't pursue the conversation further. And the next thing, as I could always remember, is seeing this big object sitting in the road, and my first remark was, oh, my God, not again. And Betty was saying, it's the moon. And I was saying, yes, it's the moon. And we both thought how peculiar that the moon was going away. And then I didn't say anything else, and she didn't say anything else about it while we drove toward Portsmouth. Doctor, had there been any peculiarities in the road, hillocks, valleys, or things where the moon might look as if it's on the ground? See that? Barney, you sometimes, that's what I wanted to think, yes. But the moon wouldn't be moving. What was so surprising was that we weren't moving. Doctor, you weren't moving? Barney, number doctor, what had stopped you? Barney, well, nothing had stopped me. I just wasn't driving ahead at the time. I thought afterwards that the reason I wasn't moving is apparently I had brought my car to a halt to negotiate some kind of a tum, or something or another. And this I accepted. And as we drove further on, Betty then remarked to me, well, now do you believe in flying saucers? And I said, don't be ridiculous, Betty. Doctor, well, now what's the question you say I hadn't answered? Barney, hypnosis and dreams, and am I hallucinating or giving a dream, thinking it a part of reality? An event of, yet, even as you can answer this question, I basically know what had happened. And this is why I think the whole thing's ridiculous, to even ask the question. 245, Doctor, well, as I've said before, I don't want to go into any great detail of the answer at this time. All these things can happen, let me say that. Anything see and happen, when you come down to it. Barney, yes. Doctor, but, I can reassure you that you have nothing to fear and everything is all right. But I want to reserve any more concrete answer for some time in the future. Barney, yes. Doctor, as we develop this thing more and more into consciousness. Barney, yes. Doctor, and I'm going to continue to walk with you now, both of you more and more in consciousness. As you continue to remember the things that came out only under hypnosis, and you won't have to resort as much to hypnosis. And at the proper time I think THN of IT. Barney, we will go into more to how we would go into such detail that for the last 3 years Betty and I have both been puzzled geriatrically by THN's discrepancy or failure on our part to talk about a situation in Indian Head and not resume our conversation until Ashland. And I think this is where we have rather been more attuned to remembering these two incidents, these two locations rather. Because we wrestled with this problem so many times as to just what could we have been doing, and we never were able to conclude anything. About THs, is Dr. THNKTHEONLY explanation as, well, we late hope that you will open up more and more about that as to what you are doing as these things begin coming back. As there comes 216, a point where there's no gain in constantly repeating a thing in the hypnosis until we can bring it into consciousness. We want it to get into consciousness to the extent that you can tolerate it, without any anxiety, and this will come. The session continued with a discussion of how Webb, Hoffman, and Jackson had been influential in encouraging the Hills to consider hypnosis as a means of relieving their growing concern about the incident. While Dr. Simon emphasized that the therapy would be involved primarily with their conscious thinking and feeling, he would still use hypnosis when it seemed necessary. For the purpose of reinforcement, however, he put both the Hills into a trance and re-emphasized that they would continue to remember various aspects of their experiences that were tolerable to them without their being upset. He also indicated that in the near future, if the Hills were willing, they would be permitted to hear the playback of the recordings, so that complete experience, not just fragments, would be relived on a conscious level. To Betty and Barney, the chance to hear recorded experiences marked a milestone in their treatment. They reacted with a combination of intense curiosity and some apprehension. Chapter 11, April 5, 1964, the day of the next session, found the Hills leaving Portsmouth at an earlier hour than usual. Prompting this was the possibility that they might be permitted to hear some of the playbacks of the tapes, the contents of which were, of course, a total mystery to both Barney and Betty. The Hills usually left their house at 6:45 on the morning of their sons. This day it was 6:15. Arriving in Boston early, they found a lunch inn at a short distance from BA State Road, taking time to have coffee and donuts and to talk about their feelings if the doctor should let them listen to the tapes. B. Barney found himself repeating the question to Betty, "Are you curious?" "I certainly am," while Betty would tone him down with the suggestion that they might not hear the tapes after all, and there was no sense in overanticipating the event. Not the time. But he recalls to some extent the fragments of the sessions that began to come through to his consciousness brought him to the point that he felt inspit of his resistance to the idea that an extremely unusual experience had taken place that night in the White Mountains, that he could consider the possibility that Betty's dreams might be more than dreams. Further, he recalls that what stood out most in his mind as he became aware of what had taken place in the hypnosis sessions was the harpness of the image of the men in the road. He even speculated that this might not be a fantasy, but could conceivably be an actuality. When one look back at the therapy at this exactly sure what he felt at, in discussing this period of the rapey 2 years later, Barney Hill is, 218, stage, he said, "I found that, in contrast to my former skepticism and resistance to the entire UFO idea, that what I thought was not the moon at all, but the object itself." However, he recalled at that later date 2 years after the therapy that no major portion of the repressed material came through. There seemed to be only leaks or flashes of recall. Betty remembers being extremely curious about what might come out of the playback, but she seems to think that she was less emotional and more pragmatic than Barney. She remembers that she finished both her coffee and donut. Barney hardly touched either. As the Hills left the lunch unit and started toward the office, Dr. Simon was dictating his customary brief preface to the session which was to follow. "Mr. and Mrs. Hill are expected at 8 o'clock for a continuation." Mrs. Hill revealed in the last conscious interview, not under hypnosis, that she had been walking in the woods and had been asleep. This was not pursued, but will be followed up at this time. The doctor was still not certain whether B would begin the playback of the tapes, but would reserve judgment on that until further on in the session. The material was emotionally strong and would have to be offered in small doses, under careful observation of the reaction of both the Hills. Dr. Simon took Betty into his office first, and they talked informally. "Doctor, well, Betty, have you both been feeling all right?" "Betty, yes. Doctor, I want to ask you one thing. When I talked to you last time, and you weren't under hypnosis, I asked you what you remembered about the experience in a general way. And you said that you remembered about seeing the object come down. And that just before you were beeped, 249, Barney asked you to look out, and you did. And you said something like, 'I looked at it, and I kept thinking I didn't see it, because I was expecting to see the lights.' and I didn't see the lights. You went on to say that you saw the bottom of it, right over the car. And you couldn't see the bright lights or the stars. That you knew that this big, dark mass was moving right over the top of the CR. Betty, yes. That's right. Doctor, and I asked you if it was going away, and you said it was directly over the CR. Betty, yes.